Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants, with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills, and I'm excited because this is episode 99.1. It's supposed to be episode 100, but you know what? Because we want to make episode 100 incredibly important and special, we are going to move this episode to 99.1. So I'm going to welcome the one, the only, my co-host, Mr. Chad K. Chad King, what's up, buddy?
You know, it's kind of like my kids. You know, they have about five birthdays every time their birthday comes around. So, you know, it's not to the last one. It actually means they're turning six or seven or eight or nine or ten. So this is going to be 99.1, even though this is like episode, what, 132?
Yeah, that's the real thing. At this point, we have earned the right to play with the episode numbers. So we're going to call this 99.1. And now that we realize that 100 is coming, we are going to search out the rest of our lovely and wonderful co-hosts.
Yeah, we're going to get them on a very special.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Ice sculptures, the whole nine, dude. Let's do it. We're going to get everybody involved, and we're going to do a big 100th episode, and that'll come very soon. So anybody who's excited about the TortureCast, we realize it's been a while since we've been with you guys, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So we couldn't really go another day without talking to you guys about the San Francisco Giants. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Chad, what the hell is going on, man? There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, what has it been? Five or so weeks since we recorded, and holy shit, things have happened. I mean, 2 weeks ago. Not even 2 weeks ago. It was a week ago, the Giants were in the sweepstakes for Zach Greinke. And I think a lot of us wanted him desperately, no matter how much money we threw at him. But you know what? Now that I think a lot of Giants take a step back, Giants fans, I should say, take a step back and look at what has happened. We got the shark, Jeff Samardzija, 5 years, $90 million. And now today, they landed Johnny Cueto, 6 years, $130 million. And so when you look at it, Zach Greinke, who of course was stolen by the Arizona Diamondbacks at the last hour, literally on Friday, he hadn't even been contacted until that day. Signed for $206.5 million, I believe. And the Giants have two very good starting pitchers for $220 million. So really when it comes down to it.
Yeah, so Diamondbacks get 1 day out of five.
Exactly.
The top guy. And we get two out of five for a $15 million on top of that, like, price.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, okay, Zach Greinke's war last year was better than Cueto and Samardzija's war combined last year. Granted, technically, yeah, they're right. Whatever. But Samardzija, I think, is going to be much better than last year. And I think the Giants did a great job in landing two solid starting pitchers. You know, one of them whom has just a great track record in terms of number of innings pitched per year. I think they're in a good spot. I'm not disappointed.
I'm with you, man. I think if I could have picked, give me one number one starter or two and three starters for the exact same price, for the exact same amount of years, I would have said, well, considering we have a guy named Madison Bumgarner, I'll take a couple of two and threes because we already have a number one. We don't need a number one. The double ace teams don't often seem to win World Series. I got to be honest. It's not that I'm paying attention and it's a thing I've paid attention to for a long time, but I can't remember the last time I saw a team come in with two aces and then win like the whole thing. It just doesn't really happen. You spend too much on two guys. You know, and that's how starting pitching is in the majors at this point. It's so expensive, you know? So let's take a couple guys who are a couple rungs down, but also still incredibly capable at what they do, and let's pay them the exact same amount we would have paid one guy.
Yep.
And also pair them with maybe the best postseason pitcher of our generation in Madison Bumgarner. I don't know how you can feel bad about the Giants pitching situation at this point. I think it looks pretty good. And I understand the Diamondbacks have vaulted themselves into the picture yes. with one move. And I get that. And I'm not denying that that did happen. That was a guy that everyone wanted, and there's a clear reason why everyone wanted him. However, it takes one elbow problem for the Diamondbacks to become an also-ran. It doesn't take that for the Giants. The Giants get a bigger buffer. Two guys with younger, fresher arms then Greinke are now on the Giants team for exactly the same price.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Arizona clearly improved themselves with the signing of Zach Greinke. And they also traded away their number one draft pick for Shelby Miller. And that, you know, that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they picked up a really solid middle infielder. And they've got a lot of things going for them. They got a lot.
They do.
They made moves. They made moves that are attempting to win. Them and the Cubs are the big winners in this offseason at this point.
Yeah, the Cubs are completely scary. But you know what? We can't concern ourselves with the Cubs until the postseason because they're not in the West. But as of right now, the Dodgers have replaced Zach Greinke with, get this? That's
not
a suspense.
Damn thing.
No.
Yeah.
Iwakuma.
Basically, not
Iwakuma.
A damn thing.
Yeah, basically. So the Giants, you know, when you think about it.
Did you read, by the way, did you read the article about the Dodgers and their organization? And did you read the, I guess the, essentially it was like about like one guy, but about how the Dodgers organization has not been great for a while yeah. and how Greinke wanted to leave because he didn't want to be around this team and the poison that the Dodgers are at this point.
Yeah, but there's also reports that, you know,
it was all on Bleacher Report. It was, you know, it's a guy who's been following the team around for a while, and well, that's why you saw Mattingly go, and mm-hmm. that's why like you see
well, you see the changes reports about ex-Dodgers or Dodger, you know, players saying that, you know, Yasiel Puig and those guys are like the worst people ever. They're cancers to the team, whatever. But at the same time, yeah. there's other reports that said that if Arizona had not come into the mix in the last, you know, in the 12th hour on that Friday, he was going to sign with the Dodgers. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what most reports say. If that
that's
is
easy to say, though, man. That's,
well,
that's
no, it is. It is. But if it were the case, let's just assume it was, I actually am glad that they went to the Diamondbacks rather than the Dodgers, because it kind of evens the playing field a little bit, especially now that the Giants have signed both, you know, the Shark and Cueto, because the Dodgers have Iwakuma to replace Greinke. So right off the bat, the Dodgers have not made any moves to improve their team this year. In fact, they've probably, well, with the loss of Greinke, of course, they've gone down a couple of notches. The Giants
oh, absolutely.
Won
yeah.
86 games last
no,
year.
No, this right now,
sorry,
if you look
say
at
84.
This, if you look at this division right now, you have to say it's between the Giants and the Diamondbacks. You don't put the Dodgers in the equation anymore. Like, they have some very good bats
yeah.
and a lot of real big question marks. And the Giants have Hunter Pence coming back.
Yep.
The best infield in the major leagues, I think. Hitting their stride, by the way. All of them being like in their getting into prime years, essentially, with Duffy being the exception because he's a rookie, well, going into his sophomore year. But everybody else on that infield is like entering their prime, right? Like, they are entering the years when Major League Baseball players are at their best. The biggest question mark right now on the Giants is center field and left field. And center field is, we know, going to be Angel Pagan. But the question mark is he going to be healthy? We know Angel Pagan is incredibly good when he's healthy. If he's not, he's incredibly bad, right? So that's a problem.
Sure.
But if left field gets shored up, you look at the rest of our team and you say, this is a team that's going to win. The Dodgers don't really have that, man. They got a couple of like superstars at positions that most superstars are already at. And they don't have like a Buster Posey. They don't have any of that kind of stuff, right? So losing a top-notch pitcher just knocks them down so much, especially when their bullpen was such a question mark already.
So, you know, what's interesting about Johnny Cueto, he signs for 6 years, 130. Mm-hmm. Some Giants fans are a little disappointed. Some are disappointed in the fact that he has a two-year opt-out clause. Now, I look at it three ways. If he is horrific in the first 2 years, he's not going to opt out because he knows his market value is shit, and we're stuck with him. The Giants are betting that he's going to be good for the front part of his contract. So I actually think that could actually work in the Giants' favor, and here's why. I think if he's good for those first 2 years, you know, 3 ERA, you know, 15 wins, that kind of thing, he's going to opt out. He's going to go on the open market, and he's going to make a ton of cash, just like he has now. He's going to up, you know, his salary even more than what he's getting right now, which is insane. He's earning, what, $21, $22 million a year? But he can probably beat that in a couple of years because the free agent class in 2018 is going to be insane. In fact, they predict it to be a $2 billion free agent market. Right now, we're at $850 million.
Wait, next year or this year?
2 years. 2018.
2 years.
Yeah, the 2018 free agent market. Going into the 2018 year, right? So the issue is, if he does really, really well the first 2 years and the Giants lose him to another team who pays him, whatever, $30 million, $35 million a year, so be it. Because my belief is that he's turning 30 this year. He'll be 32 going into that 2018
year. And you're talking about Samardzija right now, right?
No. Cueto.
Cueto, okay. Yeah, because Cueto's 29 right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has an opt-out clause after 2 years. So if he's, like, unbelievably, you know, off the rails or even above average, he might probably will opt out after 2 years. I think that might actually work in the Giants' favor, only because he'll be 32 going into that year, and there's a good chance that some team will sign him for 5 years or whatever. He'll be going into 37, 38 years old, earning $30 million a year. The Giants don't want that. So right now, if he signs, he signed for 6 years, right? So if he's going to be 36, pitching a, you know, 3 ERA, that's not going to happen, I don't think. Yeah. So I think it actually could be a little bit of an escape clause, a little bit of an escape hatch for the Giants. So it's going to suck, though, if he does have a couple of bad years, you know, starting out this contract, and the Giants are going to be stuck with him because he's not going to opt out. But other than that, I think it's actually not that
okay,
bad of a thing.
But let's put it the other way. Let's not assume the worst, because
right,
I get it. You're a Giants fan. You're already looking at the worst possible scenario. This is what we do. We go, yeah, we sign this big pitcher. He's going to shit the bed. He's going to suck. We'll let him go after 2 years. He'll do this. Okay. How about this? Cueto wins a World Series with the Giants next year. Next year, the Giants win it all. This is where we start, basically, on our podcast all the time.
Pretty
anyway,
much.
Right?
Pretty much. We're used to this.
Yes. Okay. So here's the scenario. Cueto wins it all next year. Samardzija wins it all next year. Because, obviously, if Cueto does, Samardzija does.
Clearly.
I mean, that's just math. Hunter Pence, Brandon Crawford, all these guys, they're all signed. Buster Posey, we got all these guys kind of locked down. We got this like core, you know.
Yeah,
these guys are going to recognize that this is a baseball team I want to be a part of for a big chunk of my career. They're like smack dab in the middle of their careers. These are the kind of guys you want to get. This is not signing 38-year-old pitchers anymore. We are now signing 29-year-old pitchers. I love this because we've been signing 38-year-old pitchers and somehow making it fucking work for a while now. And this is now us not drafting the fucking luckiest. Like, the Giants are like the Warriors, man. It's like, how did we manage to draft all these guys who became key pieces to world championship organization? You can't keep that up for a very long time. The Giants have finally now made moves on two guys who are basically in the prime of their careers.
Yep.
And while they may have had down years, that doesn't really mean anything because years go up and down. But a 37-year-old is a 37-year-old, and a 29-year-old is a 29-year-old. And these guys are going to see how a championship ball club operates, and they're going to want to stick around. So this, while you were like pontificating on the fact that they may want to bail on their contracts in 2 years, I'm going to go the super optimistic route of a man wearing a Santa hat and say that I think this is the beginning of the Giants win this year and potentially finally win in an odd year because of these two guys. Like, I really do think that this is the thing that could make that happen.
Well, did you see Smarge's press conference, by the way?
I did, and he seems incredibly excited to be a Giant. He's not quite on, like, there's some I'm excited to be a Giant levels that we've seen in the past.
Right.
That he's not quite at, but he's still, like, pretty high up there on, like, dude, I wanted to be a Giant. And that's a cool feeling, right?
Yeah, he was equating the Giants to, like, that prom date that he wanted to ask out, but wanted to play it cool. So
I can't tell them that I want to date them.
Yep.
Because if I do, they'll definitely turn me down. Yeah. But he seemed very genuine. I'd heard some things on r/SF Giants that Samardzija wasn't a good guy and complained about the rent prices in the Bay Area and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is all kind of hearsay.
He mentioned that, but he has $90 million. He gives a shit.
Yeah, but
now,
who gives a shit? Exactly. Like,
that's like
buy
pennies.
A house in
it's
South
like
San Francisco.
Yeah, he said he's going the
sell
hotel
it when
route.
You're done. Yeah. But, well, that's even stupid. Like, what he should do is buy a place and sell it when he leaves.
It's going to go
for
up.
A profit.
I know. It's
for
gonna
a profit.
Go up.
Like, come on, man. You're tripping. But, no, he seems incredibly excited to be here, and it, whether or not it was, it came across very genuine.
No, I'd never really seen too many interviews with him, but he seemed really engaging and genuine, to be honest. And he even
said
that
he thought
Mad Bum was... So this
is the highly
sought-out
torture cast interview, right?
Well, like, no. Hell yeah.
Come Fan media fest. Day. We are going hard for this guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, he said he was like the right-handed version of Mad Bum. You know,
cool. That sounds great. That sounds like a great thing to
say.
That's
not a bad thing.
Like, come on, man. Really? Nobody's the right-handed version of Mad Bum.
Yeah. Let's see.
Let's
blow
be
snot
honest.
Rockets on the mound there. But no, you know what? Look, he's...
Yeah, so let's throw 19 innings of shutout ball in the postseason, and then we'll talk.
Like, yeah, exactly. But, you know, some... MLB execs have said that his arm looks like it just came out of the womb, quote unquote. Apparently he has an unbelievable rubber arm. And if you look at his stats, that's true in terms of innings pitched.
Oh, he's thrown 200 innings for four seasons straight. Right?
Yeah. So I don't think they're too worried about his durability.
And he's 29.
Yeah. That's one of the things that was sold about the Giants.
Greinke is 35 or whatever the fuck he is, right?
32.
He's like 32.
Now.
Yeah. So let's just be honest here. If we're talking legitimate, like, who's going to last longer, Samardzija is going to last longer.
Yeah.
Greinke is definitely a quality guy who's going to Greg Maddux the situation, I'm sure. But nobody really has done that since Greg Maddux, honestly. Like, who's the last guy who lasted into his late 30s and still was effective?
Can you imagine paying a 38-year-old $32 million a year?
Well, someone's going to have to not only imagine that, they're going to actually have to do that.
I mean, that's...
And that's going to be the Dodgers, probably. and they're probably going to gimp their team in the years that happens. Like, Because unless the Dodgers like win now, the money's gonna dry up, man. Like, they came in and they went for it, and it hasn't turned into a championship yet.
No, it hasn't. But you know, I don't think Arizona think that's gonna happen either. Just with one.
Well, but a lot of teams do this. Like, this happens. Like, last year we could talk about Toronto. Was Toronto the champion last year?
Mm-hmm.
No. So a team does this and it doesn't work, and the next year the rest of the people aren't really going to be that into it again, because the general manager is going to go, hey, I told you we should get this guy and this guy and this guy. We should keep doing this. I swear we can win it all. Just give me one more big contract. The ownership is going to say, you know, can somebody come in here and Brian Sabe in this situation for us? Can we just draft a few guys and win 3 out of 5 years? You know, like, the Giants are in the position where we've already done it. That makes a difference, man. That really does. I believe that, you know. By the way, Chad, you haven't even been on the camera the whole time. Hold on. Got to make you bigger.
Yeah, you turned me off there.
I didn't do that on purpose. It just happened.
Oh, it just happened. It's all good.
There's Chad, by the way.
It's my right side.
But I'm saying the Giants have the leverage of, we did it. We don't have to pay a lot. We already got this guy, and this guy. All right. So I want to start talking about left field, because I think left field is, you know.
Great point.
Samardzija and Cueto, that's done. That's happened. Okay. So let's
rewind.
Yeah, let's pontificate a little
so
bit.
So the Giants' wish list this year was going to be 2 starting pitchers and a left fielder and a partridge in a pear tree. So,
oh, the first deals of Christmas, my true love gave
that's
to
right.
me.
They got their 2 starting pitchers in a pear tree. What are they going to do about their left fielder? So they're 2 out of 3 so far. Unfortunately, I don't have the math in front of me, but I don't know if the Giants are going to go for a left fielder of any significance. And okay, we're talking about Alex Gordon, Yoenis Cespedes.
Cespedes and Gordon, I think, are the 2 guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so let's bring up Gordon and Cespedes. Let's put these guys on the screen. All right, so arguments for Cespedes. He's 30. So he's hitting his stride, right?
Yep.
I've heard he's not the greatest in the clubhouse.
I've heard the same thing. And in fact, I don't like him.
All right. So Chad doesn't like him. However, last year, he was a 35-105 guy.
Yeah. They were talking about NL MVP, even though he only played half the season in the NL. So, hey, look, he's not a bad player.
35-105 is something you can't turn your nose up at.
Like, no, you cannot. No,
if we could put that production in left field and have Hunter Pence in right field, suddenly Angel Pagan seems very insignificant.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Like, suddenly we can put in Blanco for defense after the 5th inning and go, hey, we got 2 good leadoff at bats out of Pagan.
We had,
and now we dump his bad defense and we put in Pagan.
We had Travis Ishikawa starting in left field in the World Series.
Yes.
Okay.
This did happen. Yeah.
This did happen.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
And we won.
And we won. So, yeah. You look at that and you go, okay.
All right. So, how do you say I don't want a 35-105 guy? How do you say that? You can't.
I want a 35-105 guy. I absolutely do. No doubt about it.
And by the way, he hits from, doesn't he hit from the left side anyway, too? So he, like,
no, no, crank no. Out. Just the right side.
Was he righty?
Yeah, just right side.
I thought he was a switch hitter for
something. No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, well, let's talk about Gordon and why we might want Gordon.
Gordon, to me, seems more like a Giants fit. He's a little bit more of a balanced player in the terms of speed. Cespedes is incredible. Don't get me wrong. But the reason, look, aside from Bonds, because he was a bit of a cancer to the Giants, the Giants have really largely avoided people with problems in the clubhouse. And I think they're going to stay away from a guy who has rumors to have had problems in the clubhouse, which is,
and that is Cespedes.
Exactly. So he's a talented player. Don't get me wrong. He's unbelievable. He can throw guys out from the left field wall.
Let's talk about the detriments of Gordon compared to Cespedes. First of all, Gordon would be cheaper.
Gordon would be cheaper, and he doesn't score from third on an inside the park home run. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
Okay.
That was bad.
First of all, Gordon does over Cespedes. He's much faster.
Yes, he is.
He is much more suited, I think, to the Giants ballpark for sure.
Yes.
I think he is a guy who could become the leadoff hitter if Pagan becomes a liability, whereas Cespedes could not. Cespedes is very much a 3-4-5 guy, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Gordon could be your leadoff guy. And then you put Mr. All-American second baseman right behind him. I think that works.
Absolutely.
He's not a stolen base guy, but he's a guy who gets on base and moves quick and runs the base as well. And, 13 home runs, 48 RBIs. However, he also hit .271, OBP of .377. These are numbers that could be improved if he is concentrating on getting on base and moving over. I think he is that kind of guy. And a very good defensive left fielder.
Very, very good defensive left fielder. And the Giants don't have that guy right now. I mean, they lost Aoki. He signed with the Mariners, I think.
He's like Aoki plus, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But they lost him. So they have,
Pence, so we don't have Aoki. So.
Pagan in center. And right now, who in left?
Well, right now, nobody left. But I really do think Alex Gordon is the guy. Go all in on this guy. Get this guy. He fits so well. We don't need a 3-4-5.
No.
Like, I really believe we have 3-4-5. That is sewn up, man. That is.
So here's how I break down last year versus this year coming up. The Giants won 84 games last year without Alex Gordon or Cespedes or what have you. So assume that you have the same lineup going into this year. And like you noted earlier, hopefully Hunter Pence for even more games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's just ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird situation that Hunter Pence doesn't play the whole series.
Exactly.
Or the whole season.
He played 50 games last year, a third of the season, right?
That's not what's supposed to happen.
No, exactly. So let's assume that, he still plays 50 games this year. Coming in, 84 wins. They did a great job. Now you replace Tim Hudson with Johnny Cueto.
Yeah. By the way, we need to talk about the rest of the...
And you replace Heston with Samardzija.
Sure.
I mean, you're going to win at least...
I would say
at least 88 to 90 games just in that change alone.
The crazy thing is when you think about last year, and a lot of people talk about, the Giants didn't compete last year. Well, the Giants' first pitcher was Bumgarner.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was a friggin' crapshoot, man. Like, we had nobody. Like, it was...
No, it was no one.
I can't remember the last time I watched the Giants team that struggled to find a guy to start as much as the Giants did last year. And that's not going to happen this year. Unless crazy things happen. But that's not going to happen this year. Like, we now have a solid 1, 2, 3. 4 and 5 is going to be chill. You know, if Heston is our 5
well, no, Heston's going to be long relief.
You think so? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you think this is what I want to talk about? Do you think Timmy comes back to the Giants?
No.
No?
No.
0%?
1%.
You think it's that low?
Yeah.
Because I think 50-50, man. I don't think anybody else is going to sign this guy. And I think he's going to impress people when he comes back out of his hip surgery and starts throwing.
Yeah.
And I think that the Giants are going to want to keep him if he's willing to take on a role that is not a starting pitcher.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. So they lost Petit. He signed with the Nationals.
Well, they didn't lose Petit. They said no.
Yeah.
They just said, yep, we're letting Petit go.
I was a little surprised by that. Okay, because
I was too. I'll be honest, he was incredibly valuable
to the Giants over the last 2-3 years.
He's so flexible in what he does. Right?
He has single-handedly won, you know, postseason games for the Giants, and you know they let him go, and he wasn't that expensive, and he signed with the Nationals. So I think that's, to be honest, I don't think that was indicative
of what they were going to do, which is spend money on pitching.
Yes, but again, he wasn't that expensive. So what, you know, what money are they saving?
Yeah, maybe he was, though.
With a proven product.
Maybe he was. Maybe he had an agent who said, yo, I'm worth X amount of money. And the Giants said, no, you're not.
So I think that...
Like, we don't know the background of all this.
No, we don't. We don't. We don't. But I think
like,
that...
I mean, I get you. His track record says he should cost $2.5 million a year, right?
Yeah.
At the month, right? Yeah. But an agent could sit there and say, yeah, no, he needs way more. And then the Giants could say, we ain't doing that. And the agent walks away and finds him a deal somewhere else. Like, that could happen. That we don't know. Like, but I see what you're saying. That would have been a perfect, like, we got this piece in there now. But it's kind of, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of looking to be like, we could end up with Lincecum and friggin' Nostrils again. Like, it could happen, dude. That would be crazy.
Nostrils.
But it could happen. It could happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. He signed a one-year deal with the Nationals with a second-year option. I cannot find how much he signed for. But I think Heston takes his spot.
No, Heston is a starter on this team going forward.
You think he's a starter?
I think he is.
Okay, so we have...
He threw a no-hitter. Well, is he not a starter?
Yeah, well, Timmy did too, but...
Two of them.
Yeah, so we have...
Timmy was definitely a starter.
Okay, we have Bumgarner, number one. Cueto, number two. The Shark, number three.
I think the Shark is number two. I think Cueto's three.
Okay, that's fine. We have, I believe, Kane or Peavy, number four, and then Kane or Peavy, number five. So,
okay.
that you know, aside from,
but again,
from
but
health.
Again, like last year, I think we have a sixth starter on our roster. So I guess that is Heston.
What do we have, 12 starters last year? So, I mean, you're right.
Okay, so that's Heston. Heston is our sixth starter.
Yeah. You're right, though. I mean, he's going to start. Don't get me wrong. But
he'll start plenty of games, I bet.
I think he's going to be the petite
and,
of 2016.
I would not be surprised to see Tim Lincecum in a Giants uniform again. I really would.
I would love it, to be honest. I would absolutely love it. I think that, you know, his value has run out. I think most teams realize that. And I think the offers he's going to get are going to be pretty low. I still don't think that the Giants have a fit for him, per se. Unless it's, you know, ridiculously low. But that could happen. That could happen. We'll see.
All right. You know, it's funny because if you talked to us last year, Lincecum was never coming back.
Yeah. Right?
Ever, ever, ever.
Never, right? Never, never.
All right. What else we got to talk about? Left field?
We covered left field, so it's, you know, we got FanFest coming up in February.
Okay.
And little media day. Hopefully we're going to be there to cover that.
Yeah, I will be in Texas.
Oh, but, yeah, you're going to be Austin by then, huh?
Yeah, but it's not 100% that I won't be able to come back, so...
Well, you know what?
You know, put my name down and hopefully I can come back.
And we'll see what happens. We also have the AT&T Pro-Am Shootout at Pebble Beach, Giants versus 49ers. Same thing. I walked with those players last year. It was an incredible experience. So hopefully I'll be able to do that again. I got in touch with Matt Cain about that. And he said that it looks like he's going to participate in the shootout and FanFest, so hopefully we can get interviews with him. But, yeah, kind of excited.
Rewind.
What's that?
Matt Cain emailed you back?
Yes, he did.
And what? Tell me exactly what he said.
Okay. Give me a second here.
You understand that this is important.
Yes. This is live. We're doing it live.
I need to know.
All right. Here's his words verbatim. I don't think I'll be able to make the Pro-Am this year because of our fan fest. I might be down for the Niners-Giants shootout, though. Matthew Cain.
Okay.
So, there you go.
All right. before we go, predictions on Matt Cain for next year.
Yeah, that's a... I want this guy to succeed more than anyone. Honestly, he's like the nicest guy in the world. You know,
he's a Giant through and through.
Giant through and through. Original draftee, longest tenured Giant from what, 2005 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit! I mean, that's like 10 or 11 years with the Giants.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's a long time. He overlapped with
that's
Bonds.
A long time with an organization. Exactly,
it's yeah. a very long time with an organization, and he's been solid up until the last year. Year and a half. And
we, so it's funny because I had a friend who knew his doctor and said, oh, I heard that Matt Cain's actually like his elbow is like destroyed. Like,
yeah.
And this was before we all knew. And it turned out that that was the truth. It was destroyed. He came back last year and he looked good for a little while. A
little bit.
And, you know, his arm was back, but the fact is that even if his arm was back, even if there was no more pain, even if he could do the things he wanted to do, he still hadn't done the mental aspect and the whole thing of doing a season for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe an off season that gets him back, but maybe he's like the best four starter in the league. I'm not gonna count that scenario out until I see him for like five starts, you know. And I hope that the Giants are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, he's a wild card. I think last year we all thought that when he came back, you know, maybe he's gonna recapture a little bit of his youth, and just didn't happen. I think a lot of people.
But here we go. It's another year.
No. It's another year. He has an off season. He has more time to heal. He has more time to strengthen his arm and all that. But I will admit this. At the front of the rotation, you have Johnny Cueto and Samardzija. At the back end of the rotation, you have Matt Cain, who earns more than each of those guys. Okay? It's a little weird, right? Which also highlights the value of Samardzija and Cueto versus Cain. But if Cain can recapture at least some of what he had 2, 3, 4 years ago, you know, he has like a 3.7 ERA or something like that, the Giants are going to love that. I mean,
he's going to be the best four starter in the league.
Exactly.
And that's so fine. If that's where he is now, if that is his role as the best fourth starter in the league.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand that, like, being a subpar pitcher is okay as long as you are not considered to be a number one or number two pitcher. Like, so you go up against other fourth, like, you know, the fourth and the fifth guys in the rotation, you will win most of those games as a guy who has a 3.7 ERA.
Yeah, no,
so that's his focus. That is get there. That's your goal. Just beat those guys.
You know, Willie, if I could earn $20 million a year, being the fourth best guy in my office, be pretty happy.
I do that already.
I'm just saying.
I earn much less than what Matt Cain earns, and I pretend to put in work, but I never do.
Yeah,
and,
so much.
Look, you know, we all know you are the best diver in your league, like
that's
Major
right.
League Divers MLD. That's Chad King number one.
Look, I have never spent a lot of time with a Major League Baseball player, except for Matt Cain. I've spent a lot of time with this guy. He genuinely is a very nice guy.
Yeah.
Very down to earth, very blue collar, very much into his family, very just dry humor, funny guy. I from the bottom of my heart, you know, not even being a Giants fan, he really is a genuine person, and I know he really wants to do well for the Giants. And it just pains me to see his struggles the last 2 years. And I know it's not lack of commitment. It's not lack of dedication.
No, he's not doing anything wrong.
No.
It's his body holding him back at this point. Yeah.
And, you know, he's been so durable prior to his signing that's just what's biting the Giants in the ass. And
take it from Chad. He gave Matt a handy, man. We get it. Like, they spent more time than anyone's ever spent.
Well, you know, how many contracts?
I'm sorry,
I'm just going to let that gloss over. How many contracts have you seen? You know, the Verlanders and the Cliff Lees and those kind of guys. Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on and on about these guys who are signed at age, 28, 29, 30, 32.
This guy is committed to this team, and bang, as soon as it gets time, he's gone.
This guy
is stuck with this team, stuck with his team. He is a Giant. But we got a lot of guys like that. The Giants are lucky, man. We are lucky as Giants fans to have witnessed a lot of people be loyal to an organization that clearly is loyal back, even sometimes to their detriment. You know, it's hard sometimes to watch because you want them to go and get Greinke. But do we want Greinke? Like, when you start thinking about it, do we want the guy that makes a decision based on $5 million when you're talking about 205 to 211?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. So 205 is not enough. I need 211. Like, That's crazy.
No,
that's
right crazy off the bat, thing, he said I mean? Like, money was the most important thing. So, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it took 6 hours to decide. Okay, yeah.
Paid $200 million to ingest cancer. Like, that's what I feel like. And I know that's not accurate 100% because I'm obviously, like, a very emotional Giants fan that, like, looks at the Giants as, like, this thing. But...
Well, you know, I can't imagine.
But you know, like, it feels that way.
38-year-old pitcher, $32 million. He's not going to be Zach Greinke of 2015.
He's not. No, he's not. Yeah, he earned this contract, but he earned it by giving up the best years of his career.
Yeah,
and now he's going to give you the post best years of his career.
Oh, and by the way, his career ERA is over 3.
Oh, no, yeah.
He's been fantastic.
He's not the end-all, be-all.
Yeah, like, the last 2 years, don't get
every
me wrong.
Every Diamondbacks fan who has tweeted at you and said, shit just got interesting in the West, like, you can just tell them, well, the only reason it was interesting is because of your fucking first baseman, who you already fucking had. And you probably could have promoted, like, a stud from your AAA organization and gotten the amount of wins you'll get out of Greinke. Like, yeah. I really don't think Greinke suddenly makes them win 15 more games than they last. You know what I mean?
That's, like, impossible. Yeah.
No, they win 5 more, 4 more. It's incremental what one starting does.
That's why the Giants winning 84 games last year, they're going to have the same lineup if they don't upgrade left field, and they upgraded their starting pitching. So that at least has got to get them to 88 to 90 wins, if not more. It has to.
All right, before we go, Chad, I can't let us walk away without talking about the Warriors.
Because
I don't get a chance to talk about this anywhere else.
Yeah,
my daughter had to
pay me a dollar for that, by the way.
Yeah, so, okay, the Warriors went 24-0 to start the season. I got a couple of questions for you. So the first question is, people who are talking shit about how they're counting the 4 wins the Warriors had last season as counting in the streak.
Right.
Don't all streaks count this way? As baseball fans, it's a regular season streak. If you have a hitting streak that ended last season and you started the new season and then you hit safely in 14 straight games, you tack 14 on to whatever you had at the end of last season. That's how it works. Right?
You just define it. That's what it is.
Yeah. So either we say a one-season streak, the the top is 33, or we say the regular season streak. But we can't say both. Like, it was a 27-game win streak. That's or 28-game, whatever it was. 28-game win streak, right?
Yeah.
That's what they had. That's what they did. They did that.
Okay. So you just break it down. You say 28 consecutive regular season wins.
Yep.
You also say 24 consecutive regular season wins within one season.
Yep.
That's
it's
all
you two do. Different. It's two different streaks.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just it's simple.
Yeah, I
it's
agree. Like I don't understand why everyone's say, like trying to figure like out
Barry Bonds
how to break it down.
Hit 73 home runs in one season. Well, if you look back to the previous season.
Yeah, should we not give a fuck about how many he hit his whole fucking career?
Yeah, because he had like
two
home runs the last game of the last season. You go,
some of them were on last season.
75 in the last 162 games he played. It's like
it's the dumbest thing. I don't understand why people are fucking talking about this. It's the stupidest thing.
You know
who cares how they count a fucking streak? It's a streak.
You know what's great, though, is that group of Bucks fans that wore 24-1 t-shirts. Mm. Who does that?
Well, Bucks fans do it.
Who does? No, I'm serious.
And like, I bet they all fucking partied so hard after they that game, by the way.
Did they get rings? Did they get, like, bonuses? Did
apparently.
They get, like,
I saw on the
what
R
the
Reddit.
Fuck?
I saw on R Reddit, like, R NBA, a bunch of Bucks fans saying, "See you in the finals, Warriors."
Oh, yes. At 10-15, the Bucks are going to make the finals.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So here's the deal.
All right.
I want to talk to you about this because the Warriors are historically good.
Unbelievably good. The best
team. We've been a fan of this team for a long time, right?
I thought the Bulls team, 95-96, I remember I just graduated college, and I thought no team will ever be better than this team. They lost, what, 8 games did the entire season?
No, 72-10 is the all-time record.
Yeah. Oh, 10. That's right. 10.
10 losses.
So this team has a chance of beating that record. And what I've seen so far, I don't really have a doubt that they can't beat it, to be honest.
No, I don't either. I really do believe if any team has been able to say that they can do it at this point, it is the Warriors.
Yeah, well, they're on pace to lose three, so
That's not going to.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, we all know this.
That they will lose like 7 or 8. I really do think
exactly.
That. But I do think, like I was telling my stepdad about this. Like he went into that game super, just down on. He was like, that Celtics game was really tough.
It was.
And we were down a starter, and we were trying to start Clay on probably a soft ankle, probably not his best, you know, and he ended up having a horrible shooting night.
Yeah.
You take out Clay. I think if we don't play Clay in that game at all, we might possibly win the game. I think playing Clay was a mistake.
Yeah.
But I really think, though, that it didn't matter what happened. Everybody was coming out with their best effort for the Warriors. And that was going to happen until the streak was broken. And that's what we got. We faced a team that was so pumped to try to win. And that win made their season. Like, all those guys on that team are now going to, like, say, hey, but we beat that Warriors team. Remember that?
Yep.
That's going to be their rallying cry for the rest of the year. Now, the Warriors don't need to fall into this trap. Yes, historic streaks are fun. But you know what's more fun? Winning like 75 games and then the championship. You know? Because all the people that were talking about streaks, I hadn't heard them talking about any of these teams. But I've heard a lot of people talk about 72-10 for a long time.
Yeah.
And this happens in baseball too, you know, like there's that one team that won the most games in a regular season. So I think the Warriors should try for the regular season record.
Well,
but don't try for streaks. If people are injured,
no, I agree.
Streaks don't matter, but you know what we can get and a championship? is a 73-plus win season.
Oh, hell yeah. No, I think absolutely they need to go for that.
But yeah, like I said, people say, everybody talks about championships. Kind of. But you know what everybody always talks about is 72-0.
Yep.
That has never left the conversation. And I remember watching that team, and I remember being like, fuck, man, the NBA is boring. I'm not a fan of that team.
Yeah, it's like a video game, right?
Yeah, but here's the deal. As Steph a Warriors Curry is like fan, a
video game.
Just as a boop, Warriors boop, fan, boop. You have to understand that we didn't see this coming as Warriors fans.
No, not this kind of record. No. Are you kidding me? No. No.
People in the RNBAs are like, the Warriors, they're the protected team in the NBA. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've been watching this team for 20 years now. And even more than that, I'm 35. I watched the team for like 30 years now. And we've never been protected. No one's protecting the Warriors. We just finally got some guys that worked.
Yeah.
After millions and millions of bad picks and bad teams and bad coaches. And it just finally worked. And not only is it our turn, but we got that team. Like, that team.
Now, the Warriors are set up to, seriously, if everything works out, win like 3 or 4 championships, to be honest. They're set to do that.
If they beat the 72-10, that's going to be bigger than anything. If they beat the 72-10 regular season record and then lose the championship, that, like, first of all, I don't think they could possibly lose the championship.
I don't think so. But
if they do that and then lose, it would still be that they are the only team that beat 72-10, which is so insane in any sport. And
it is, but at the same time, you look at like the Mariners from like, you know, 2000, whatever it was, one where they won,
they won what, 112 or something,
116 games,
116,
okay, yeah. And they lost in the first round. It's like they don't have a World Series championship.
But in baseball, like, they always talk about, oh, you didn't rest your starters enough.
No, I just...
Baseball, you don't rest your starters. Like, you had a DH who was having a career year and won the MVP, right? You had Ken Griffey Jr. You had...
But if they win 73 games...
Like, it didn't matter what they did in the regular season. They just lost, right?
It's going to be a footnote. It's going to be a footnote. So
exactly. We're still talking about that team, though.
Oh, yeah, we are.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't win the championship.
Yeah.
Like... Who's talking about who won in 96?
No one.
Who? Do you know?
No one.
Who won in 96? Who won in 2011?
Cardinals.
You'd have to think for a second, right?
Yeah.
Who won in 82?
Cardinals.
All right, well, you know the Cardinals every time. Who won in 94?
That was the strike year. No one.
See?
Boom.
My point is...
See, I know this shit.
My point is, who had the most wins in the regular season ever?
Yeah, the Mariners. It's true.
Basketball?
Oh, basketball, of course, the Bulls, but they won that year.
Football?
Patriots, and they lost. And the Dolphins, and they won.
Dolphins.
Well, yeah, no. Regular season, they both sort of tied, but yeah, you know what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, you remember that one team. That's the one team.
That's true.
It's the team that wins every year.
Yeah.
But there's the one team that won the most games. That's not insignificant.
No.
As much as people want to make it out to be insignificant. Oh, the ship is the only thing, right? Nope.
Hell yeah.
Regular season accolades matter. And they matter to these guys, too. You don't think that that Clay and Steph and Draymond are fucking pissed that they lost?
Oh, dude, they're pissed as hell. I mean,
I pity the next team that has to play the Warriors.
I was gonna say it's gonna be Phoenix on Wednesday.
If Phoenix doesn't get absolutely destroyed, I will be fucking surprised.
Well, you know, it was the seventh game of a seven-game road trip. It was a back-to-back.
After a double overtime.
Double overtime.
And one of our starters is out.
And one of the starters is out. And my daughter, at the beginning of the road trip, after they, you know, had, whatever, 16, 17 wins in a row, they already established the record, bet you, Dad, that the Warriors will win all seven games on the road trip. And I told her.
Oh, damn. Did you win?
I told her, no team has ever in the history of the NBA gone 7-0 on a road trip, let alone won 25 in a row to begin a season. They've already broken the record, but of course, you know, no one's ever opened at 25. No one's ever gone 15-0 on the road to begin the season. So I said, I will take that bet. She said, great. What are we going to bet? Dollar. So if I won, she owed me a dollar. But if she won, I owed her $10.
Damn.
So there's the ratio,
right?
Let
her do that to you, man.
And it was just win after win after win after win.
You're like, wow, it's going to happen.
And I'm like, especially the Boston game, okay? The Boston game was game number 6 on the road trip. And it looked like they were going to lose. And they just kept stringing it out. Overtime, double overtime, and they pulled it out. And they're going to Milwaukee. Milwaukee is worse than Boston.
Milwaukee's a bad team.
Yeah, exactly. They were 9-15 going into that game.
You know, they didn't lose that game because of talent. They lost the game. Because of legs, man.
No, of course not. Of course not. Everybody,
they couldn't make a shot.
Everybody knows, except for the Bucks fans, that, you know, the Warriors are beat. It was basically,
they clanged so many shots off the rim.
It was basically,
I think somebody posted 4 from like 48 from outside.
Yeah, no, it was horrible. It was horrible
outside the
And so me and my daughter and our whole family were watching the movie. And I had my phone. I was watching the game on my phone through the DVR. And I was like, oh, they're down by 10. They're down by 13. Oh, they're down by 5. And my daughter was just like, they're going to win, Dad. They're going to win. They're going to win. And, of course, it didn't work out.
They could have, dude. They could have. They had their chance.
Oh, no. They tied in the third quarter. They could have
absolutely
won.
And then they put in the full B squad.
It was the beginning of the fourth quarter, exactly. They put
I'm so sick of this, by the way.
And they went down by like another 10 points after that, and then it was just too much to overcome. I agree.
I'm going to point this out. First of all, it's not the interim coach's fault. It just isn't. Like, Luke Walton is fine. He's doing the best he can.
Yeah, he lost the game. He's fired.
But people have been talking about him like, oh, they're winning despite him. I do agree that he's not as good as Kerr. Kerr is better.
No, and Willie, do think that if you were to coach one of three or four, you would win one of three or four games you coached. Just saying.
I think if I coached the Warriors, I would be like 17-6 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
Like,
yeah.
But I do think that Walton has done above average as a job. Yes.
Yeah.
Not as good as Kerr. So when people bitch about Luke Walton, I'm just like, all right, he's still fucking above it. He's still 24-0 before he loses. That happened under his watch, right? You can't deny that. That's stupid. But that second unit of the Warriors is real bad. They tend to just throw them all out there. So it's like Iguodala is your main offensive threat, who is not a threat without a guy like Curry or Clay out on the field. He needs to not be your main guy. they don't have a shooter in that second unit. They should really be rotating earlier and having a mix of bench and starters, and then slowly rotating the starters back in before the bench is rotated back. I really do think that. I think that the rotations are not where they should be. You shouldn't be rotating your entire set of starters out when they are all such scoring machines. And I understand that Harrison Barnes being out has screwed that whole situation up. But I think what you should be doing is taking out Clay or Curry early, then rotating out a couple guys, then rotating back in Bogut and Clay or Curry, so that they have like Bogut and Curry or Bogut and Clay back in with Iguodala, with like the Brazilian blur, you know, with some of these like. But instead, what they're doing is it's all the starters or it's all the subs.
Yeah.
And that is, to me, the thing that has caused us to lose that game. Like
that one game out of 25.
No, but they've been doing it. They've been winning despite that. Like, because that lineup has been losing the leads.
No,
and then
true.
The Curry Clay lineup comes back in and gets it back. But why are we putting in only starters or only subs? You really need to be mixing these people in. And like guys like Mo Buckets, he's struggling because when he comes in, he's the offensive guy. And he shouldn't be. He should be the guy who gets
not.
A pass
right.
at the top of the key sometimes because they left him because they were dealing with Clay or Curry.
Yeah.
But he's not playing with those guys anymore. He was so good when he was on the court with either of those guys. He is now looking like an asshole. Like, everyone is just like, God, don't put Mo Buckets in.
No Mo Buckets.
Yeah. But, dude, last year, people couldn't get enough Mo Buckets, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the rotations are not the same. Mo Buckets is only playing with all the other second guys, and he could be so great mixed in with a couple of starters. Like, we're not doing the mix. It's not mixed. It's just starters or subs. Starters, subs. And it's not a good rotation, man. It's not a good rotation.
I think they're gonna go ahead and sweep this home series. They're gonna be fine.
Oh no, I think so too. But I think what I'm saying still is valid. That
oh yeah, no,
you're
totally
letting
is.
you're letting the B team lose leads, and then your starters work extra hard to win the games that they should just win easily.
Yeah, well, that's how anyway. that's how Clay got hurt.
Well,
kind of funny.
No, but Clay got hurt because it was an entire squad of the bench. It was all
exactly.
the bench.
That's what
against
I mean.
All of their starters,
yep.
right? And
yep.
then we took a 30-point lead and lost it.
Yep.
How about if it was...
If he mixed it. Yep.
How about if it was Clay with Bogut?
Yep.
And you know what I mean? Like, how about let's put in both our centers at the same time?
No, I agree.
Every now and then. You know
I
what
agree.
I mean? Like, why don't we mix things up a little bit? And rather than it's just, oh, it's our starters or it's not our starters.
Yeah, it's the Santa Cruz Warriors versus, yeah, exactly.
Like, do you think we would have lost the 30-point lead with Bogut and Azili in the
no,
same game?
No, of course not.
Like, if they were in the same time, no team is going to ever score downtown.
No.
Ever. So put those guys in together at some points. Because they both will block the shit out of everything. Your rim will be protected. Then you put in guys like Clark.
House.
Yeah. Then you put in guys like Clark and you put in Klay Thompson, good wing defenders. And then you put in Dre, Big Dick Dre. Like, so I want to see, and we've never seen this season. Bogut, Azili, Big Dick Dre, Ian Clark, Klay Thompson. We have not seen this lineup. You know how good that lineup would be at defending on the perimeter and on the inside? And Dre is roaming, defending whoever the fuck he needs to?
If they're 24-1, that will be fine.
That would be so
just
good.
Saying.
I just Look, I'm just saying.
We're in an epic era of Bay Area basketball. I mean, no team has ever done what the Warriors have done.
I'm second guessing a 24-1 team.
That's what I'm saying. It's like if they're like 30-10, it's like, oh crap, they're horrible. But I mean, right now, I mean, they're just
we're wasting what we have, man. And we could be 82-0. I think this team could do it.
Well,
this
team that could that's do it. Just never.
I look
happen.
At these guys.
Literally, that's never going to happen.
I know that because it's never going to happen where everybody puts all the shit together and. Yeah. A coach figures out that this is how it's supposed to work. And I'm not saying, oh, I know guaranteed that would work. But I really do think that, like, we've missed out some opportunities. Like,
no, I agree with you.
I'm watching the rotations, and I'm like, man, we have two modes. We have bench mode, starter mode.
Yep.
We don't have the mix in between
the mix mode.
That I've seen from so many. Like, if you watch the Spurs, who won many titles, Tim Duncan was on the court with lots of different people.
Yeah.
It was never Tim Duncan and the starters and then all the scrubs. And, like, we have all the scrubs or all the starters. And it's weird, dude. Why? Why is it that way? Like, what is that? I've never seen that. Anyway. All right.
All right. So this Warriors
Chad,
podcast.
Chad, we're done, right?
Yeah.
We're done? I'm sorry, buddy. I hijacked our Giants podcast.
Dude, I am so into the Warriors right
I'm
now.
I'm frustrated with one win. But
One loss. Like, the Giants could lose five in a row. We're like, so, like, you
Giants
want something to eat?
Giants are going 160, 161.
161-1.
We're doing it.
Shit.
It's going to be so good.
Oh, shit. Well, okay. I mean, hopefully we get another podcast here in a couple of weeks. But you are going to be moving, aren't you?
I am. I'm moving to Austin, Texas. I'm going to be a fan of the Texan barbecues, ribs.
Yeah. I don't know. We both said ribs at the same time.
The UT.
Seriously.
Date rapists. I don't know what they are. What are they?
What team are you closest to?
Oh, they're the Longhorns. They're the Longhorns. I just looked at it.
What Major League Baseball team are you closest to?
I think it's the Rangers.
Yeah, Arlington.
Yeah.
Well, every 3 years, the Giants
so the Astros
will
are
apparently
American
visit,
too.
Right?
I have no National League team. That
no,
posted.
No. After the Astros Look, went, yeah.
I even found my place, too. Like, it's legit. It's happening. I found my place.
Oh,
it's
you
awesome,
did,
man.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it like $2 a month or something?
Yeah, it's basically you... They suck your dick, and then you get to live there.
Nice.
But no, it's $800 a month.
Oh my god!
It's my own one bedroom. I have a workout facility and a pool. And
I paid $800 a month in 1995 in Capitola, California, for one bedroom. What the hell?
She moved to Texas with me, man.
Jesus Christ. Unbelievable.
let's get a gaming house in Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say, holy crap. Well, yeah, you're going to be able to stream and do your thing, so it's all good. I'm happy. I'm happy for you.
Well, I need it to be that cheap because, well, people might think streaming is the future. It's tough to make money.
No, it's not the future. It's a side income, you know. It's
well, but I need it to be my main income.
Yeah.
So
no, I know.
No, well, not the streaming, the podcasting as well. But that's also part of. Yeah, we're monetizing podcasting and streaming is tough.
It's kind of funny because, you know, obviously, I would love to do what you do, Willie. I mean, in terms of the time that you've had and the success you've had. But at the same time, you know, it requires time. Time is the number one
problem.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Yeah,
and, you know, I have a full-time job that I love, so why would I give that up? Second of all, I have a family and kids and everything else. And it's just it's that balance where I want to do what you want to do, but at the same time, it's like, you know, making it happen with, you know, what I'm doing right now. But but living in Texas, $800 a month, I'm for that.
That sounds pretty good, right?
It sounds pretty good.
Well, okay, so I'll just put it out, like, I spent a lot of work and money on setting up this whole Dills.
Yes, you have.
Whatevs thing and the 12 Dills of Christmas. Tonight was a huge success. I mean, we did over $200
in
donations, which is a big deal.
That's fantastic.
But now we're doing it again tomorrow, and I spent money on that too. So it's like, you know, it's not just all like, oh yeah, we did it, and then now I make a lot of money. Like it's it's a job. I'm putting time into figuring out how to make some shit.
All right. Well, as we wrap this up, let everyone know, because you got 11 days left.
That's right. So if anybody who likes the TortureCast and likes what I do, if you are also a gamer and you're into gaming and you're into, you know, any of that kind of shit, if you're a nerd at all, you should check out my Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/WilliDills, S-F, W-I-L-L-I-E, D-I-L-L-S-S-F. We're doing the 12 Dills of Christmas. Today was the first one. Tomorrow will be the second Dills of Christmas. Two turtle doves. Two turtle doves. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's like a chocolate drink or something we're doing. But either way, we're just going to have fun. We're going to be just enjoying ourselves playing. Enjoying the holiday spirit, so swing on by. But this is going all the way until Christmas, so and even after
awesome.
That. Yeah. And Chad, I think I want you to join me. Even though, you know, tonight we're doing this, I would like you to join me another time. You know, me and you could play some games after this, but maybe you could come out.
No, I'm good for a couple of games here. I am trying to defeat the most recent expansion to Hearthstone. I cannot beat Rafam. That's his name, Rafam.
Sure, we could probably help you.
He steals your deck.
Yeah, that guy. So you got to give him a shitty deck.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying, and apparently it's too good. So okay. I've tried like 5 times. So yeah. Anyway,
but you're a WoW player, so
yeah.
I would like to have you come on and we just play World of Warcraft.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right.
So, yeah, we're going to do that, too. And we're also going to do more, more of this. Eric isn't here. Ben's not here. Those guys will be back. Things are happening. You know, it is what it is. But TortureCast, I know a lot of people are like, oh, shit, man. Where is TortureCast? It's our off season. That's... We have an off season just like the guys.
Yeah, we do like 4 podcasts in the off season.
Yeah. And then once the season starts up again, get ready for the big giant, you know.
Get the load in the face. It's all good.
Yeah, intro into the next season where Chad tells you exactly how many games the Giants win. And he will be 100%
accurate. I'm very good at that, by the way.
Yeah, he is very good. Please tell me it's like 98 this time.
Don't think it'll be there, but I'm thinking 90s.
In the 90s? Okay, good. Yeah, all right.
We'll see.
Chad King is thinking somewhere in the 90s. I'm going to say goodbye for TortureCast, for me, Willie Dills, for Ben, and for Eric and Chad King. See you guys next time. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Do all the things. Just search TortureCast. Come on. Do I have to spell it out for you every goddamn time? All right. We'll see you guys. Episode 100 is going to be the next one. So that's going to be a big deal. So make sure you guys join us for that. We'll see you then. Thank you very much.
Boom. A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.